song. Thank you. You may be seated. Well, stand back up. Open your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 4, please. We'll begin in verse 17 tonight, and we'll read through verses 32. Ephesians, 4, 17 through 32. The Bible reads, "This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness and greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that ye have heard him, and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speaking every man truth with his brother, for we are members of one another. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." Father, we thank you again tonight, Father, for your precious word. And we pray, Lord, that you would open our understanding to it tonight. Lord, speak to our hearts individually and collectively as a church. And Father, may we always be a church, Father, that stands on the truth of the word of God. And Father, may we be a people who are continually drawing closer to your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, may we also be a congregation of people, Father, that don't just stop here at the church, Father, but we would take the word of God out into the places in which we live and places in which we work. And Father, may Jesus be seen in the lives of our people. And we ask all this in Christ's precious name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Now back on 4/21, 2024, that's the last time we were in Ephesians. Last week, Brother Dale filled in and did a wonderful job last Sunday night. If you weren't here, you missed a beautiful message that the Lord laid on his heart, and it was a good message, and I just pray that it sticks to our hearts. But the last time we were together, we talked about the admonition here found in verses 17 through 24, which is to no longer walk like the rest of the Gentiles, to come out from among the world and be separate, is pretty much what Paul was telling us here. No longer walk like the rest of the Gentiles or the unsaved people. We should look different. We need to be a different kind of a people. When we go out into the public, people need to look at us and they need to say, you know what, there's something different about that person. That person's got something different in their life, and if they're seeing what is good, then hopefully they'll say, I want a part of that in my life. And they want to walk the same way, walk that God puts in us to walk. They walked in the vanity of their minds. And how did they do that? It starts with the blindness, which is hardening of their hearts. I mean, before a person gets saved, their heart is very hardened and they're blind. They have a blindness in their heart that keeps them from coming to Christ, which leads to ignorance that that's in them. See, the world is very unlearned when it comes to Jesus Christ. They don't understand that, like we were talking earlier when we sang When the Roll Is Called Up Yonder, they don't believe that that's real. They don't realize that this is something that's been around way longer than anything we can think of. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And they seem to forget the fact that there is a creator, because they've taken it out of the school systems, number one, and they're not teaching that in the school systems any longer, that God is the creator, that everything came from him. And then somebody comes along by the name of Darwin and tried to say we all came from monkeys. Well, I don't know about the rest of you, but my ancestors were not monkeys. And I don't see monkeys turning into people any longer. So if that happened back then, why is it not still happening today? But you know what? God still creates things every now and then. He still creates a newborn baby when it's born. I mean, think about that. That is not evolution, folks. That is the creating power of God Almighty. And they have gotten away from that in our school systems, and our children are being taught a bunch of lies. Nothing but lies. And, you know, they'll let all kind of people into these schools to come in and speak to them, but I guarantee you, they won't let a pastor come into the school and teach them from the Word of God. They're not going to allow that to happen. Why? Because it's the truth, like we talked about this morning. And the truth is what hurts, and it digs deep, and the Word of God is a sword that goes deep into the heart of mankind, and it opens up wounds into them, and they get aggravated because of that. But, you know, we don't need to walk like they do. We don't want to walk as they walked. And they're just ignorant. That word ignorant is not a bad word. It means unlearned. They've not been taught about the Lord Jesus Christ, because I believe that the church dropped the ball somewhere along the line. We gave up somewhere, and we should have never done that. And it was probably way before even some of us were born in this room. But somewhere along the line, we backed off, and we just got content. And, you know, to me, sometimes we just got complacent in the word of God, and we got to get back to where we're no longer complacent when it comes to the things of God. We got to be able to stand firm on the Word of God and teach it to as many people as we possibly can. And because of such ignorance, they're being alienated from the life of God, and they don't realize that. Because of their lack of knowledge of God, they're being alienated from God. They're not going to go to heaven someday if they don't know Jesus Christ as their Savior. They're going to go to hell. A literal place called hell. And it's our responsibility to make sure that that doesn't happen. When that roll is called up yonder, we want to be able to take as many people as we possibly can with us. And that's called sharing the gospel with them, leading them to the Lord Jesus Christ. And the results of them being alienated, they're having their understanding darkened. We live in a world today, you can read it in Romans chapter 1. We live in a world where most of the people in this world have reprobate minds. They have a mind that cannot determine what is right and what is wrong. They don't know the difference. Everything's right. Everything's good. If it feels, as that old saying used to go, there was a song, I think, that said, if it feels good, baby, do it, or something like that. There was a song like that back, I think, in the 70s or something. And that's when it started getting even worse and worse, folks. If it feels good, that don't mean it's the right thing to do. If you don't know the right thing to do, pick up the Word of God. It'll tell you right from wrong. It's pretty simple. It's not a hard thing to do. So their walk... And in verse 19, we found that their walk is past feeling. In other words, they have no feelings whatsoever. They're just cold-hearted people. And they call us the ones that are hateful and mean because we love people and we want to see people go to heaven. I don't want to see anybody die and go straight to hell. I want to see as many people in heaven as I possibly can. And that's my responsibility. But it's not just the pastor's responsibility. It's all your responsibility as well. If you're a born-again believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, you have a responsibility to carry a tract in your pocket, pull it out every now and then, hand them a tract, or whatever the case may be, share the gospel with somebody. I'm like I told you this morning, I'm going up to Cleveland in the morning, bright and early, and I'm taking all the John and Romans I got with me, and I'm gonna spread them throughout Cleveland, Columbus, Dayton, Cincinnati. Wherever I go, I'm going to take me some of those things, and I'm going to pass them out, folks. I'm just going to leave them lay if I have to. I'll lay them laying somewhere where somebody's going to pick it up, and they're going to look it up. They're going to look at that and say, John and Romans. And then they'll turn it over on the back and they'll say, it's a gift from Abundant Life Baptist Church in Proctorville, Ohio. Praise God! You know, get it out there. Get it out there, because we got a ton of these things and we need to get them passed out. These tracts don't do a bit of good sitting back in the rack, folks. Don't do a bit of good. And we got a responsibility to get that word out to those people. And that's part of walking in truth and holiness. If you want to walk in truth and holiness, get the gospel to someone. Share it with somebody. You know, there's nothing better than a John and Romans. You know, it's pretty nice too. Yeah, I mean, they're pretty nice ones back here. Church has had them for a long time, but they just sit on the shelf back here, and we got to get them out of here. But because they are past feeling, they have given themselves over to lasciviousness, which is simply unbridled lust. Think about that. Think of this world that we live in today. It's no matter what you look on TV, you got a picture of a woman with a woman or a man with a man and all this sinfulness that's going on out there that God just downright has an abomination for. It says back in Leviticus that it's an abomination in the eyes of God. That word abomination is a very strong hatred. God hates sin. And sin is sin in the eyes of God, but there are some. If you go back in the book of Proverbs, you can read about seven of them that he says are an abomination to him. It's worse than just, I don't like that. It's a, I hate that sin. And that's part of what it's about, God, folks. We have got to walk in truth and holiness, and the only way to do that is to agree with God. If God says it's wrong, then we got to agree with God that it's the wrong thing. When God said it's the right thing to do, we've got to agree with God and with the Holy Spirit and with His Son, Jesus Christ, that this is the right thing to do. And to work all uncleanness with greediness. You ever seen such a greedy world? It's all about me. What can I get out of that? It's all about me. It's not about the church. It's not about Jesus Christ. It's about what can I get out of this? What's in this for me? I went through a class years ago, a leadership class with another company a long time ago. So it was a Poons and Cosner, I think it was, leadership class. And one of the things that they taught us very distinctly was anytime your boss comes to you and he says, "Hey, Roy, I want you to do something special for me. I'd like you to do this." They taught us what you're supposed to say is WIIFM. And they just kind of look at you funny when you say that. And that means, what's in it for me? Folks, that's not what the world's all about. It's not what's in it for me. When my boss told me to do something, I just did it because it was the right thing to do. He was my superior. And when God says, this is what you do, don't look at God and say, well, what's in this for me? He's liable to say, how about a good punch in the nose or something? You know, because that's not what it's about. We serve a God that we should love and care about. And we've got to be able to, in order for us to know Jesus the way we say we're going to know Jesus, we got to no longer walk as the Gentiles did. But instead, this is where we're going to pick up on our new stuff here. Instead, we want to talk about the admonition here. We're going to continue with that. Instead, walk in righteousness and true holiness, found in verses 20 and verse 20 through 24 there in Ephesians chapter 4, which says clearly, "Now unto God and our Father be glory forever and ever. Amen." In other words, well, I'm in the wrong book here. I'm in Philippians, which goes along pretty good with that. But he says there in verse 20, "But ye have not so learned Christ." In other words, this is not what we taught you. Paul said, this is not what we taught you. This is not the way we want you to be. "If so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus." That's the only truth that's left, folks. There is no other truth in this world outside of the Lord Jesus Christ and what you're going to find in the Word of God. So he says, instead of walking like the Gentiles do, you need to walk in holiness and in truth at all times. So this is how you learned Christ, he says there very clearly. "As ye heard him and were taught by him." How? Through the apostles and the, of course, back in Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 through 20, it talks about that. It says, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them." This is where he's talking about this. This is how you learned him. "Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you." Not what the world commands you, but what I have commanded you. And these are the words of Jesus himself talking to his disciples. This is called the Great Commission. "Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always." Don't think that you're on your own, because you're never alone. When you go to take the gospel to somebody, when you're trying to teach somebody all the things that you have learned as a Christian, and you know, it's not a hard thing to share Jesus with somebody. It's something very simple as saying, "Let me tell you what Jesus did for me." And just tell them your testimony. Just share your testimony with them. What did Jesus do in your life? Well, he saved you. What did he save you from? He saved you from an everlasting hell. He saved you from sin. He saved you from a world that, where there's nothing but defeat and evil and all kind of lustful things going on out there. And he goes on in verse 20, he says, teaching them. We got a responsibility to teach people. Once they come to Christ, we have a responsibility to teach them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And that's whatever Jesus taught the disciples. They went out and they taught it to other people, and they were able to bring them into the fold of God. And as a result of that, you know, they've got what they, well, some refer to as crowns, stars in their crowns. But you know, there's no greater thing to present to God one day when we get to heaven than a soul that's been saved because you witnessed to them. There's no greater reward than that. You know, and all those rewards, there's five different crowns they say out there that you can earn as a Christian. And the greatest crown of all to me is the one that when you walk up to the throne of Christ and you stand up before him and there's, you know, bunch of people standing behind you, and Jesus says, you know, those people all there got saved because you shared your testimony with them, or you shared the gospel with them. You gave that person the gospel tract, and that person was saved. You taught them how to be a Christian. You brought them into the family of God. It's all done through Jesus Christ. It's nothing that we do, folks, but we have got to teach people about Jesus Christ. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And that's pretty clear. That's pretty plain, is it not? That's the teachings of the Word of God. And we got to make sure this world understands that, that we've got a responsibility to take that to them. He says, lo, I'm with you all, even unto the end of the world. Amen. And that amen is like, right? I agree, right? Yeah. And that's what Jesus was saying, right? That's the right thing. You teach him those things. He says, and it goes on, in whom is the truth? We got to teach him the truth about Jesus Christ. John 8, verses... got ahead of myself here. John, and back in John chapter 8, verses 31 and 32, and then down in verse 14 through 16, Jesus says, then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue, this is what Jesus is saying, who believed on him. Once a person believes in Jesus Christ, he says, if ye continue in my word, then ye are my disciples indeed. In other words, a true believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, a true Christian, somebody who truly has accepted Jesus Christ into their life, this is what they're going to do. Then ye are my disciples if ye continue in my word. What's that mean? It means simply that if you do what Jesus tells you to do, then you're one of his disciples, plain and simple. That's not a hard thing to accept or a hard thing to believe. And he goes on in verse 32 of John chapter 8. He says, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And what did Jesus say? He said, I am the way, what? The truth. I am the way, the truth, and the life. If you know Jesus Christ, he's the truth. And if you know Jesus Christ, then you're saved, the born-again believer in Jesus Christ. But you've got a responsibility to go. And you can go back to that, and he says, continue ye in my word. That's part of being a believer in Jesus Christ, doing what he tells us to do. And then down in chapter 14, verse 6 of the book of John, it says, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father except but by me. Only through Jesus. He is the only way to heaven. I don't care what the Catholics say. I don't care what all these fake religions out there say. These ones who tell you can't get saved unless you're baptized. Your sins are washed away when you're immersed in the water. That's not biblical, folks. The only thing that washes our sins away is the blood of Jesus Christ. The Bible's clear. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin whatsoever. There's got to be shedding of blood. And the only blood that was acceptable to God the Father was the blood of Jesus Christ. And it was pure. It was righteous. It was holy. And that blood went all the way back to Adam and Eve. And it's going all the way to the last amen in the book of Revelation. And folks, we've got to be able to share that to a lost world. And then on down in verse 22... back in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 22, it says, for we are taught to put off the old man. Once a person gets saved, folks, there's got to be a change in their life. When we get saved, if a person is a true believer in Jesus Christ, the world is going to see a change in them. They're not going to do the old things anymore. They're not going to have those desires anymore. They're going to have a desire to be around God's people. They're going to have a desire to hear the Word of God. They're going to have a desire to read the Word of God. They're going to have a love to want to know more and more about Jesus Christ and to walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, if so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus. That's the only truth that's left in this world, is what you find in Jesus Christ. That's real truth. The stuff that the world is trying to teach our kids out there in our colleges and so on and so forth, it is a crying shame. It's a crying shame. These two young boys that come, Billy's grandsons, who come to church here. We went out, my wife and I went out and visited Billy and Susie last week, and they were sharing with us some things because, you know, I was a little concerned about one of them, and they're going through a difficult time. They're taking college courses. The one's going over here to Marshall, and he told me. He said, Pastor. He said that's a rough school. He said it is evil. He said there's evil everywhere you look, and you know he had to give a little speech here. And one of the speeches, his speech was on the book of Psalms, chapter 1 and 2. God bless him. You know, and I told Josh. I haven't told him this, but I told his grandmother. I said, praise God. He took his Bible with him. He takes his Bible to school at Marshall. Can you imagine that? Walking down Marshall with a Bible in your hand. And, you know, praise God. Praise God for that. And that's a good testimony. He carries his Bible with him. And that's what we want to see in these young people when they get saved. Don't be ashamed of Jesus Christ. And they're not ashamed of Christ. And you know, we got to pray for our young people, folks. I mean, our teens and our kids in Master Club and the ones teaching them, we got to make sure we pray for them, that they're giving them and teaching them according to what Jesus says here. You got to teach them. You got to teach them to do what's right. You don't have to teach a child to do what's wrong. That comes natural. They're born with a sin nature. I mean, the moment they're born, they start screaming because they're disobedient, and they're wanting something. They get selfish right out of the birth canal. They're just ornery, plain and simple. They're born that way. They're born ornery. They're cute as they can be, but they are ornery. They've got a sin nature the moment they're born. If they don't have their way, what do? They scream their full head off. Ah! They just start crying. Sometimes it's because they're hungry or whatever, but think of it this way. When a child is born into this world because of Adam and Eve and the sin that they committed back in the garden, we all have got Adam's nature, and that's a sinful nature. And the only way to get over that is because there had to be shedding of blood. When Adam and Eve sinned, the first thing that the Father did, when God the Father came down on the earth, he's going about through the garden, and he's looking for Adam and Eve, and he's kind of saying, where you at? Where you at? And we hid ourselves because we were ashamed. Well, what were you ashamed of? Because we were naked, and we didn't have anything to close. Well, who told you were naked? God said, and God knew. He knew all along what they had done. But so what did the Father do? They tried to cover themselves in leaves. Plants. And God went over and he killed something. He killed a sheep or a goat. He shed blood. And he took that covering off of that animal and he clothed them with that. So that covered their sins. The blood, it had to be blood shed. But the only thing that would cover us up through today is the blood of Jesus Christ. Because without that blood, there is no remission of sin. There's no forgiveness whatsoever. But he goes on, and we go on here as we're going through this. Once a person gets saved, we have to put off that old man, that we no longer need that. Corrupt according to the deceitful lust, sort of like being addicted to drugs. When a person gets saved, they don't need to have that lustful desire anymore of being able to commit those sins. And you know what? It's not easy. It's a hard thing to do. Even though just because a person gets saved doesn't mean that they're just going to walk away from everything all at once. It takes time. It takes time for people to grow. They start out on the milk of the Word, and then later on, as they begin to grow in the Word of God, and they begin to learn the things that they need to learn, and they understand that they've got to put off that old man and then put on the new man, the only way to do that is faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. They got to stay in God's Word. They got to read it. They got to take it with them. They got to stay in the Word of God and grow by being in church, by hearing the Word of God proclaimed. And then down in verse 23 it says, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And what he's talking about there as being in the spirit of your mind, he's being very clear there in verse 23, be renewed of the mind, which is the key to true transformation. Romans 12, 1 and 2 says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And that reasonable service means this is a reasonable thing for you to do. It's the right thing to do. These bodies are no longer yours. Once you get saved, you don't belong to yourself. You belong to the Lord Jesus Christ, and you've got a responsibility to be able to take that body and keep it into subjection according to the Word of God and stay away from sin as much as possible. He says, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world. In other words, don't walk as you once walked. You're a new person. You're a new man. You're a new woman once you accept Jesus Christ. And you've got to walk accordingly. Is be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. In other words, changed by the renewing of your mind. And the only way to renew your mind is to get in the Word of God. This is the sword of the Spirit. It is what digs into our heart. It tells us what is right and what's wrong, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Sometimes we have to prove ourselves to ourselves. Yes, I'm a true Christian. Why? Because I am living according to the Word of God. I'm walking in the Spirit. That word reasonable is a Greek word from which we get our word logical and service, which is equivalent to referring to service as sort of as a priest. The Bible tells us that once we get saved, we all become as priests. We're all kind of priestly like people. That don't mean we're like a priest, like the Catholic Church type of priest. But we are all workers for the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're referred to as priests in the presence of God Almighty. And that's how he looks at us. So we have been made an holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices which are accepted to Jesus Christ. That's in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 5. And it's perfectly logical that we render this to be a long life of service. That's what a priest is all about. Back in the Old Testament, a priest was a long life of service. We've got a responsibility when we get saved to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. And we have to stick to that. You renew your mind only as you set your mind on things above. In Colossians chapter 3 verses 1 and 2 it says clearly, if ye then be risen with Christ, if you really truly been saved and you've been risen from sin in Christ, seek those things which are above. In other words, you're going to seek to do those things which bring glory to Jesus Christ, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things of the earth. When the things of this world, the material things of this world, are more important to us than the things that we do for God, then there's something wrong with our heart. We need to check our hearts. We've got a responsibility in this world. We all have to work. We all have to make a living. We all got to do certain things. But while we're doing that, we need to be a testimony to other people. We need to let other people see Jesus in our life. And then in verse 24, he says, and put on the new man. And that's important. And it says there in Ephesians chapter 4, and that she put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and in true holiness. There's that word true again. For ye were bought, you were taught to put off the old man in verse 22. I think I got ahead of myself again. Your former conversation. Putting off the old man is needed because it is never content. If you're a person is truly saved, they're not going to find true contentment in this world. They're going to be miserable. I know what that's like. I've been there. There's been many a time in my life when I had to do some things based on the jobs that I had, and I knew they were the wrong thing to do, but I had to do them anyway because I had to get paid. But, you know, God changes things. And there was many a time that I made my boss mad one way or the other because I refused to do something he asked me to do. And I think I've shared that before, but one time I remember I told my boss I wasn't going to do something because it went against what I believed according to the Word of God. And I drove from Charleston, West Virginia, all the way to Buckhannon, West Virginia. I was up there working, went all the way down, sat in his office. Because I told him, I said, I want to talk to you about this in person. I went down and I told him. I said, listen, I'm not going to do that. I said, the Bible tells me to abstain from all appearances of evil. They wanted me to drive around with another lady in the car with me and go to different stores and do things together. And I told him, I'm not doing that. I'm not going to be seen with another woman outside of my wife. I knew too many people in Charleston and down in Buckhannon and in other towns that I was a part of in the business that I was in. And I wasn't going to be seen with another woman in my car outside of my wife. And then I told him, I said, I can't do that. His name was Larry Blankenship. I said, Larry, I'm not going to do that. And he told me, he sat there and I said, so I took my car keys out, had a company car, had all the good, lovely things that comes along with the job. And I laid the keys down on his desk. I said, I guess I'll have to quit. And he sat there and he started crying. And I never seen my boss cry before. And he started crying. And he said, Roy, what are you doing? I said, Larry, I said, I just assumed you were going to fire me because I refuse to go against what I believe in my heart God tells me not to do. I'm not going to do those things that God tells me not to do. And he had tears in his eyes. And he picked up the keys. He said, take these back. I said, but Larry, I'm not going to ride around with that woman. He said, I'm not going to make you, Roy. He said, if you're that adamant about it and you believe that strongly about it, he said, I respect your belief. I said, praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord, Larry. I said, thank you for that. But I was ready to lose my job. And that's the job I had since I was 16 years old. But I was willing to give that up because it was a bad testimony. And you see, people aren't like that anymore. They don't care to be seen with another woman in the car. I will not be in a vehicle unless my wife's with me. I'm not going to ride around with another woman in the car with me. It's the wrong thing to do. It's called an appearance of evil. And other people see that. I mean, think about what kind of testimony that would have been. If I'd have been seen in the car with another woman, they would have said, oh, there's Roy Johnson. Oh, wait a minute. That's not Barbara. What's he doing with that other woman? You know, even though it would have been innocent, it was an appearance of evil. And I'm to abstain from all appearances of evil. I had a responsibility as a Christian to say no to something that would have been totally innocent on my part and even on the lady's part. But I wasn't going to do it because it was the wrong thing to do. Because my dad taught me years ago, don't ever be alone with somebody of the opposite sex. And in today's world, folks, you don't even want to be alone with somebody of the same sex. It's a scary world we live in. Think about that. It's scary when you can't even be seen with another guy in your car because somebody's going to have a thought. That's the way the world thinks. And that's the kind of thinking we don't need to have in our churches, folks. And that's why, you know, I have a little camera in my office back here. If you want to come in and sit down and talk to me, feel free to do so. But I got a camera I put in back here. And that's for a reason. And that's to protect not just myself, but our church. The last thing I need to do as a pastor, as a leader, is to have somebody point a finger and say, so-and-so was in pastor's office with the door shut. And I won't do that anyway. If a lady wants to talk to me, they need counseling, I'll be glad to counsel anybody. But if Brother Dale, Brother Bob, or somebody can't be with me, or my wife, if it's a lady, I would prefer my wife. But it's just a good thing to do. It's just wise. Even when Jesus sent the disciples out to go out and be a testimony, how did he send them? By two. He sent two of them together. It's not always wise to be alone when you're testifying to somebody else about Jesus Christ, especially if you're counseling somebody. You got a husband and wife that's got a fight going on. The last thing you want to do as a pastor is get in the middle of it. It's a good way to get your head blown off. And that's the truth of the matter, because there's been cops killed because they're called out to things like that. And there's been cops that's been killed because of that stuff. And that's a sad thing, folks. That's the way the world thinks, though. We don't want to have that kind of a mind. The Bible teaches us not to have that kind of a mind. But we have a responsibility to make sure that the world don't think that about us as well. So part of what we have to do is stand up and do what is right, plain and simple. Let's go on here to verses 20. Instead of walking in righteousness, we need to walk in righteousness and true holiness. And to be renewed in the spirit of our mind in verse 23, which is the key to true transformation, which is found in Romans 1, 12, 1 and 2, to renew your mind only. And then as we continue and put on the new man, well, I got way ahead of myself, didn't I? New man in righteousness and true holiness. We read Colossians 3, 12 through 17. I like to put this up here because some of you I know take notes, but at the same time I'm talking ahead of myself. And it locks up. That's fine. Now, I want to give an application here. Okay. This was the admonition that we just went through. Okay, we went through the admonition. Now I want to give an application to this. To illustrate the difference between the old man and the rest of the Gentiles, how they walked, and the new man, how a Christian is to walk, we find Paul making some application here. And it begins in verse 25. If you look down in verse 25 of Ephesians chapter 4, he says, "Wherefore put away lying." Put away lying. Don't lie. That's one of those things that, you know, I've said before, that's one of those thou shalt not things. If the Bible says don't lie, don't lie. Don't lie. And, you know, somebody says, "I've never told a lie." I worked with this guy one time, here not long ago, actually. And every time I'd talk to him, he'd say, "I don't lie." I said, "You just told a lie." To say you don't lie, you told a lie. Plain and simple. But don't make a habit out of it. It should not be a habit to go around telling lies. And that's very clear. Yeah, and so the case in point here in verse 25 is lying. Don't lie. The old man thinks nothing about lying. The world don't think anything about it. I worked with a guy, I had a supervisor one time, and I'm telling you, every word that came out of his mouth was a barefaced lie. If he said good morning, it was probably evening. I mean, he was a habitual liar. That's all the man ever did. He lied, like nobody ever seen. He would stand in front of the owner of the company, and he would tell a barefaced lie, and he tried to say he was somewhere when we knew he was not there. He ended up getting fired for that, by the way. But you can't just be somebody that just seeks to lie all the time. The new man puts away lying, and in his place, he speaks truth with his neighbor. Plain and simple. Speak the truth. And tell people the truth, especially of those who are the member of the same body. Don't lie to Christians in the church, folks. Don't lie. Just don't lie. That's a case in point. Do not tell a lie, because the Bible tells us not to lie. Second thing is verse 26 and 27, case in point, anger. The old man gets angry and lets it linger, and it gets out of control. I mean, you can watch all kind of videos on whatever you want to watch about people who get angry. And then they hold that anger in them. They take it to bed with them at night. We just watched the thing the other day. It says, fear thy neighbor instead of love thy neighbor. It said, fear thy neighbor. We watched this little video because it was talking about being afraid of your neighbor. And this couple moved in beside this old fella. He sold them a piece of property. And after he sold them the piece of property, they built their house on it. And it seemed like they were going to get along just fine. But then the fella had a big old dog, a Rottweiler. And the girls were afraid of it, but his daughter would come over and play with the girls in the new house. And so one day, the other girl was going to go over to the house to get something. And the old man's daughter takes the two girls over and leaves them on the porch and says, y'all stay outside. I'm going to go inside and get something for a minute. The little girls opened up the screen door, and that Rottweiler jumped through that screen door and bit both of those girls. And then the feud began. It began. And they had to kill the old man because he was shooting at them. I mean, that is the craziness of this world that we live in, folks. And that was a true story. And it was called Fear Thy Neighbor. I don't want to be afraid of my neighbor. And you know, the last thing that our neighbors need in this world is to be afraid of us. Be afraid of Almighty God if you want to be afraid of somebody. But we should be able to share the love of Jesus Christ according to the Word of God and hold our anger in and don't let this world anger us to the point where we are so angry that we no longer share the gospel with somebody. That's the wrong kind of anger. God, it's okay if God gets angry. And I can guarantee you there's days he gets pretty angry at us. And right now, I guarantee he's sitting on his throne in heaven and he's about to look at his son and say, go get him. Bring your church home. I'm fed up with it. As it was in the days of Noah, they're there now. We're there. It's getting worse and worse every single day. It's not getting any better, folks. And we've got a responsibility to control our anger. The new man may get angry, but he does not let it linger. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, it says. Allow it. We do not allow it to prompt sinful behavior. Just because someone gets mad at you, don't pull out a gun and shoot at them. Plain and simple. It's okay to carry a gun if you've got a permit or whatever. You don't have to have a permit in some states. But if you feel safe to carry a gun, I carry one. I'm going to carry one all week up in Cleveland and Cincinnati. I do. I carry a pistol, plain and simple. I have a responsibility to make sure I can get back home and see my wife. And believe me, on the streets of Cleveland and late at night, when I've been in some of these stores after dark and been the only one in the stores, I'm telling you, it gets freaky. when you drive down the town and there's people standing out in the middle of the street having a party. I did that last time I was up there. There's people right out in the middle of the street, out of sight of a bar, having a party, standing right in the middle of the street. I had to go around people. That's the sinfulness of this world, folks. You know, sometimes we're sheltered people. And I'm glad of that. I'm glad that we're able to be sheltered in the presence of God. But, okay, this thing's catching up with me here. The case in point, we're talking about anger. The old man gets angry and he lets it linger and gets out of control. As Christians, we've got to have control of our emotions. Plain and simple. We can't let our emotions control us, especially when it comes to anger. And that's the kind of emotion I'm talking about. There's all kinds of emotions out there. But we can't let that linger. Don't let the sun go down on our anger. And we've got to make sure we stick with our guns on that. And, you know, case in point, number C is stealing. Folks, don't steal. Don't steal. And, you know, yeah, you have people say, well, I've never stolen anything in my life. You ever take a pencil from school or a paper clip that you didn't pay for? Well, that's stealing, is it not? If it's not yours and you take it, isn't that stealing? We got to understand what stealing is. If it's not yours and you take it, that's stealing. The old man is willing to steal. The sinful man, he's willing to steal. But the new man not only stops stealing, but works so he can help others in need. You get a job sometimes to help people in need, not only to provide for your family, but, you know, we got to provide for the church. You know, it's the responsibility of the people in the church to provide for the church. We've got needs around here. You all saw the sign, it shrunk out there. We need to build that back up just a little bit. I don't want it real high, folks, because if we get it real high, that wind's going to come through there and blow it over again. I don't want to see that happen again. And Dave and I and Travis have already talked a little bit about that. We got the canvas sign that's done its job for a while. But we've got needs in our church. And thank God the insurance kicked in, and we've got some insurance check to pay for the gym over there, and the soffit over here fell off of the side of the building over here in the fellowship area, and then, you know, it affected the flag or the flagpole. So we got a little bit of money from our insurance company to help us pay for some of that stuff. But we've got needs right here in our church that God's people work And that's how we fulfill the needs of the church as well as help other people in need. And that's what we want to be able to do, to help other people as much as we possibly can. The next case in point is corrupt communication, found in verse 29. Verse 29 says, Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, in other words, building someone up, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. We've got a responsibility to watch what we say. Be careful. Brother Dale said something last Sunday night about the old tongue. He taught about it when he was going through the book of James. The old tongue is a deceitful thing, folks, and it is evil. It takes one word to destroy a man and his entire testimony, just one word. That's why I refuse to ride around with another lady in my car besides my wife. Simple, pretty simple, because one word could have destroyed the testimony that I tried to carry and build on. And I talked about that here a while back. I preached about holding on to your testimony. And that's an important thing that we got to do. The new man not only avoids that corrupt communication, that speaking about other things he shouldn't be talking about, but he seeks to speak that which is uplifting to those who hear it. And that's found over in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 33, which says, "Be not deceived, evil communication corrupt good manners." You can take somebody who's got really good manners, a good young person, you put them to the wrong person who's got a foul mouth, and there's nothing worse than a foul mouth person. I cannot stand somebody that throws out that F word every time you turn around. And I hear it every now and then, and it's a terrible thing. It's a terrible thing. I was in one of these stores one night up in Cleveland. I think it might have been Cincinnati. But I was in one of the stores one night, and these kids turned on this music late at night. And I tell you what, the language that was in that music, if you have children or grandchildren, and you allow them to listen to that filthy garbage, that rap music and all that garbage out there with that foul language in it, shame on you. Shame on you. You need to do something about it. Just turn it off. Don't let them do it in your house. Don't let them do it in your house. You shouldn't even allow it in your house anyway. That stuff is corrupt. It's evil. And I'm telling you, it'll blow your mind if you listen to it. I mean, it was the F word this. I mean, I never heard that F word used so much as I heard in that music. I finally went over to the boy and I said, "Do you even understand what they're saying?" "No." And the one young man, they started playing something that sounded like it was in a different language. I said, "What is that guy saying on the radio or that music you're listening to?" I said, "Turn it off. I can't even concentrate. I'm trying to do this work and get it done so I can get out of there." But he said, "Well, that's Russian." He was listening to Russian music that was literally talking about killing Americans. That's corrupt. That is as corrupt as it can possibly get. Folks, if you let your kids listen to that stuff, shame on you. That's corrupt communication coming out of the mouth of the world, trying to destroy our minds. There is a battle right now going on for the minds of our children. And it's a huge battle. And when they come to our church, folks, we need to make sure that we give them the Word of God, because that's the truth. That's the truth right there. We need to share the truth with them. But he says that we need to speak that which is uplifting and glorifying to God Almighty. We need to avoid corrupt communication. So to sum it all up tonight, why be concerned about putting off the old man and putting on the new man? Because when Christians act like the old man, it grieves the Holy Spirit. When we decide that we're not going to do what's right and we choose to do what's wrong, we grieve the Spirit of God. And folks, that's sin. We can't be that way. We cannot feed the old man. We got to put on the new man. So by the Holy Spirit, we are sealed for the day of redemption. So why would we want to destroy that? That's the one who seals us into the day of final redemption. We're redeemed, yes, by the blood of the Lamb. But final redemption doesn't come until God pulls us out of this world and we go into the presence of God Almighty in a place called heaven. And that's when final redemption hits. And it gets even better one day when the old body that dies is reunited with the Spirit up in heaven in the presence of God. Folks, that's another birth for us. This old body is sinful. And I don't know about you, but I want a new one someday, because this old body, it's got aches and pains that I don't like. And so on and so forth. I know we all got that here. But and as we continue to sum this up, well, there we're froze again. There we go. "Therefore, we ought to put away those things befitting the old man, like bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking, malice." All those things, we need to put them away. Don't act like the rest of the world. Be different. It's okay to be different. And if the world makes fun of you, praise the Lord. Put a smile on your face. Count it joy that God found you worthy to suffer for his cause. It's okay to say no when it's the right thing to say. And it's okay to say yes when the world says no, if it's the right thing to say. So don't be afraid to put off the old man and put on the new man. So we got to quit grieving the Holy Spirit and by not being allowing ourselves to be used of the world. And don't let them control you. Don't let the world control you. You control your world around you by staying in the Word of God, staying in fellowship with God's people as much as you possibly can, and do the things that are right. Just say no. It's not a hard thing to do. It's not a hard thing to do. But we've got to choose to do what's right. We've got to walk in truth and in holiness. And the only way to do that is to take the truth and hide it in our hearts that keeps us from sin. And the only thing that does that is the Word of God. And that's not too hard to do, folks. If you love the Lord Jesus Christ, you're going to want to do that anyway, because that's what it's all about. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your Word. And Lord, we just pray, Father, tonight that you'd help us to choose to do what is right. We can very easily choose what is wrong and go along with the rest of this world. But Lord, we ask that you'd put a hedge of protection about our church and our church family, for our teens and our young people, Father, the grade school children, every one of them, Father, that you'd put a hedge of protection about each and every one of them. Father, that, Lord, they would see their need of being different, going against the flow out there, Father, that they would swim upstream instead of downstream, which is the easiest route to go. Father, help those who teach our children, Lord, that you'd give them wisdom and discernment to stand firm and strong and to understand, Lord, that we need to look different from the rest of the world. We need to have a little better control, Father, of our dress coming up this summer with the way things are in this world, Lord. We don't want to, we just don't want to do those things that create bad thoughts or evil thoughts. Help us not to feed the flesh, but to feed the Spirit of God in our hearts. That's our responsibility, Lord, and help us to live up to that, I pray. And Father, I just pray now that you would just continue to speak to our hearts as we have our time of invitation. First, in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.